Well, even though it was the COVID summer of 2020, the 20 weeks of Fish and Paul Bunyan Country has flown by yet again, and here we are to wrap it all up for another year, our 30th. And as always, Henry Drews, the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager, is wrapping up the show with his annual State of the Fishery. Now, the daily Fish and Paul Bunyan Country show is done for the year, but starting next Thursday, Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors returns every week, Thursdays at 1, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. And, of course, is podcastable on Podcast One, the PodMN app, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll do plenty of fishing talk there as well. I hope to have a fishing segment every week along with all the other outdoor stuff we'll be covering. But let's get her going. The final Fish and Paul Bunyan Country of 2020.
If I had a bar for every time my line got stuck, well, then I'd probably have enough for a brand new pickup truck. And I'm probably gonna need it. My luck is gonna change, I can feel it. I got a secret weapon on the radio. Kevin always tells me where the fish is going. And I'm fishing. Yes, I'm fishing. Yes, I'm fishing.
Paul Bunyan.
Country.
I got a mosquito, she's bigger than your mom.
Country.
She looks so good, I'm gonna take her to the prom.
Country.
I'm talking about the mosquito, I'm not talking about your mom.
Country.
This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. We're wrapping up our 30th year. Henry Drews, the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager, my guest. And as we start things off, we look forward.
Next up here is, and you've heard a lot about it, talk to David Weitzel. I know you did an interview with him. Mm-hmm. You know, the new bluegill regulations we're proposing. So while we've got really good bluegill fishing, we want to keep it, and we also want to try to provide more lakes with quality bluegill. So we'll be having some public input meetings this fall statewide on 118 lakes that we're proposing for reduced bag limits on bluegill. So that's kind of next up in terms of trying to turn the dial a little bit on fishing quality.
You know, and the thing about that I like about this proposal and this group that you've put together is you didn't wait until we were in dire straits. You know, we're still in really good shape if you compare us to the rest of the nation when it comes to bluegills and sunfish, and this will only make it better.
Yes, and you know, when we talked about the issue with the statewide angling groups and did some surveys, you know, there wasn't an appetite to do a statewide change. And in reality, if you put a real restrictive regulation on a statewide, it's not going to help every lake. So doing it on a lake-by-lake basis and getting a larger number of waters that we can manage for bigger bluegill out there to give anglers more options, put the regulation where we think it'll have a high probability of working, that's the route we've chosen. Ultimately, over the next couple of years, we'd hope to have 200 to 250 lakes statewide with reduced bag limits on sunfish, so we can try to improve the quality of our bluegill fishing. We know we can do it. We've got 5 bags on a number of lakes up around the Bemidji area, and we've seen what that regulation can do to, one, protect quality, and two, to make it even better. So we're hoping, and so far we've had great public support. Our online tools are indicating very strong support for the proposed new lakes. And so we'll finish that up with some more local county meetings and see where we get.
Is there a plan to then move on and take a look at some of the other panfish in our area besides bluegills once the bluegill aspect is taken care of?
We don't have any plans in place, Kevin. There'll be some dialogue that'll be spawned from this about crappies, I'm sure. But we want to get this bluegill project off and running, you know, first, and then we'll talk more about crappies. There are some crappie regulations being proposed in conjunction with the bluegill regulations, and Leech Lake comes to mind. That's a lake where our citizens input group there has been very active and very very vocal in seeking some greater protection for that quality crappie fishery on Leech Lake. So that particular proposal does include crappie, but on a larger scale, that'll be down the road a few years.
I want to take a look at a couple of lakes that I've heard quite a bit of this summer. You mentioned Red Lake and record number of pressure. I think it's ironic. Red Lake is so good that people quit talking about how good it is because it's a story that never ends. Despite the pressure, it sounds like there's just more than enough fish for everybody anyway.
Yes, you know, and we have a collaborative effort with the tribe where we do our fall population assessments. We share the data. We decide what condition the lake is in, how much harvest it can sustain. Then each jurisdiction goes and sets their regulations to stay within that harvest. For this summer, we were in what we call the optimal zone. We had previously been in the surplus spawner stock zone. Now we're in the optimal. So our regulations for the open water season were a little more restricted than last year. Last year in the open water season, it was a 4-bag with you could have one over 20 inches. This year, it was a 4-bag with only one over 17. So we saw fewer pounds harvested this summer because they couldn't keep as many of those 18 and 19 inchers. But we did see the harvest fall right at the top end of where we were targeting. So we threaded the needle. Mm-hmm. We anticipated that the interest was going to be as good as last year or higher. We adjusted the regulation to bring the harvest down a little bit, and it did. It brought the harvest right where we wanted to see it for this summer, and it puts us in good shape, you know, going into the winter. And yet people kept coming, and that bite continued good, you know, like I said, through the second or third week of July. And interestingly, when the catch rates go down on red, they're still better than 90% of the other lakes in the state. But not as many people come in late July and August because, you know, it's not Red Lake type fishing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The other lake I wanted to mention was Winnie. The last few years, been a lot of frustrated Winnie guides because there's plenty of action, but nothing you can keep. This year, still some of that, but what they're seeing is 3 or 4 year classes in a row that are all going to be, you know, getting into eater size starting maybe this winter even. And they expect that Winnie's going to be spectacular in the next 4 to 5 years.
Well, Winnie's in the northeast region, so I don't supervise the staff to do the day-to-day work on Winnie.
Okay.
So I'm not as in tune with that as I am Red. But from what I've heard and through your description of that status of that lake, I think there are brighter days ahead for Winnie. I know there's a lot of fish in there that are under 14 inches right now, you know, especially in that, 12 and 13 inch size group. And that's very promising. And that does bode well for the next couple of years. Will it be the Winnie of the 1990s? You know, I think it would be premature to make that sort of prognostication. But I think in terms of people having the ability to harvest some fish, I think there are brighter days ahead.
We always wrap up the season with Henry Drews. We always discuss the state of the fishery. This year is no exception. And up next, one of his favorite topics, bass fishing. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Fish and Paul Bunyan Country is presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. It's our annual end-of-the-year State of the Fishery with Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager Henry Drews. And Henry, one of the things that I have heard more of this year than I probably have ever is bass fishing. That has really seemed to catch on up here. Certainly the Bemidji State University team and, of course, now the Bemidji High School team has kind of put that forefront for a number of young anglers. But it's really something I hear more about than I ever have before. So I'm assuming there's more bass angling being done. Are we seeing any ripple effects of that anywhere?
I don't know if we've seen any more ripple effects. My one indicator is, you know, I issue the tournament permits for Northwestern Minnesota, and I have seen a tick upwards in the number of permits that are issued for bass tournaments. There's also an increase in the club activity that are don't need a state permit. There's 25 or less boats, and there's league nights that are targeting bass. So I know I fish bass a lot. I've seen more boats out targeting bass, over the last, I'd say this is really like a 5 to 8 years, mm-hmm. this steady increase in bass directed activity. So it's happening. It's real. And I think people are really enjoying it. And you know, whether or not a person subscribes to climate change or not, the reality is our lakes are warmer than they were 30 to 50 years ago, and bass are being more successful at reproducing. So we are seeing more bass in northern Minnesota lakes than we did 30, 40 years ago. That's a fact. So I think that the fact that there's an increase in the populations in some waters, coupled with the increasing publicity from the college and the high school activity and the tournament, the high-profile tournaments that have been held up here. And I think it's adding up to more interest.
And I also think that it also probably, and I'm not a biologist, so I'm just spitballing here, if you're not getting as much pressure on the walleyes as you used to because people are getting more diversified, that can't help but help the walleye populations overall.
Yeah, I think that would be a good hypothesis. I don't know if I could find information to suggest that people are walleye fishing less. I think they're just adding bass fishing to their toolbox. I think they're doing more. I think they're diversifying. And I don't see as much bass fishing early, say in May, the latter part of May, as I do, say, after mid-June. And to me, what that tells me is that when the walleye fishing gets tougher, people are adapting and going out and catching stuff that's, a lot of fun and maybe a little easier to catch in the heart of the summer. Whether they're dropping out of the walleye fishing or just switching gears, I don't know.
Okay. A couple of other places that have got some unique fishing opportunities up in Rainy River and Lake of the Woods, that sturgeon fishing has become something very, very popular over the last decade or so, too. And at times, the pressure on the sturgeon seemed to be more than the pressure on the walleye, I've heard. But that population continues to be strong.
Well, the sturgeon fishing on the Rainy River is just off the charts. And this spring was a little quirky because of when COVID hit, some of the counties were closing accesses up there, not wanting to get a whole bunch of, out-of-towners up there. So the spring was a little goofy, so we kind of broke a pattern up there of extremely heavy pressure. I think that's just a blip on the screen, and next spring we'll see people up there, in mass. There's also a growing interest, Kevin, on the Rainy River with the summer fishery. It's closed for a while, and then it reopens for 3 months, July, August, and September for a summer fishery up there. And more people are finding that it's rather enjoyable to spend a late summer evening on the Rainy River with a sturgeon line out. We're also seeing sturgeon being caught more frequently in some of the other waters in the region where we're working on reintroducing that species. Big Detroit Lake, people are starting to fish sturgeon there. Otter Tail Lake, they're starting to fish sturgeon. Catfish anglers on the Red River report, dozens of sturgeon in the Red River caught each year. And so our investments that we've made in removing dams and other fish barriers and then stocking sturgeon back into the Red River Basin are starting to yield some fruit on the end of the angler's lines over there as well.
As you get ready for the fall and some of these summer projects are ending, have you heard anything from the field about what they're seeing out there?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to make some lemonade out of lemons, we weren't able to do any stocking this spring. We didn't run our hatcheries. We didn't stock any walleye fry. So one of the things we're going to do starting, and it's some of our areas have already started, we're going to do more fall electrofishing and looking for naturally produced young of the year walleye. sometimes it's difficult to get a good read on walleye natural reproduction because we stock a lot of waters frequently. So this year we're going out and spending a lot more time at night with our electrofishing boat looking for young of the year walleye. And we're seeing already some pretty interesting results. We're seeing some natural reproduction in waters that, you know, where we kind of walked away from it, thinking that the only way we would maintain those waters would be through stocking. So we're seeing some good natural reproduction out there, not everywhere, but in a number of the waters. And that's going to help us make management decisions moving forward. So again, trying to take the lack of stocking that we did this spring and learn from it. The other thing that's out there is, you know, we weren't able to put fry in our rearing ponds. So we're going to go out into our rearing ponds and see if there's any fish left over from last year. And if they are, we'll harvest them and make use of those as, you know, 8 to 10-inch fish, some selected stocking. So we're going to do some makeup of the stocking, fingerling stocking we're going to miss out on. And we'll also be able to check those rearing ponds, those natural ponds that we put fish in to grow to fingerlings, and see which ones had a good winter kill last year. And we'll remove any of the remaining carryover fish. And so those ponds are going to be really clean for use next year, which means that, you know, in anticipation that we're able to run our egg takes, stock our rearing ponds, we'll have a good production year next year because those ponds, by and large, have been left fallow.
Besides AIS, anything out there that you guys are worried about here in the Northwest?
No, not really. You know, we're just excited to see the real pulse and interest in angling and all forms of outdoor recreation that, you know, that had been on the decline for some time. So we're just hopeful that this is a real wake-up call, that the great outdoors that we have up here are there to take advantage of and to enjoy. And so I think in the midst of these difficult times, I think the outdoors is a real positive thing.
This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. We are wrapping up our 30th year. Henry Drews is always my guest to wrap things up with his annual State of the Fishery. He's the Northwest Regional Fisheries Manager. And Henry, beyond Paul Bunyan Country and just as your knowledge as being part of the DNR, any trends, good or bad, on a more statewide level that we're seeing?
You know, the one thing that, you know, again, it might be related to climate, is you know, these precipitation patterns seem to really have been changing over the years. And you know, when you go a month without anything, any rain, and then you get 10 or 12 inches over a couple of weeks, you know, it's creating some issues with, you know, the hydrology of our streams and rivers and the lakes. And we're learning that we need to adjust some of our infrastructure when we build ramps or when we put in culverts for crossings. You know, we need to take this changing hydrologic cycle under consideration. So I think that's something we're going to have to pay attention to.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming seasons. We got the fall fishing season, well, basically probably kicking in right about now with the cooler temperatures. Obviously a time when the typical angling pressure goes down, but the typical success rate goes way, way up.
Yeah, I'm one of those conflicted individuals, Kevin, between hunting and fishing. And I learned, at least while I'm working, I can't do both and do both well. So I'm in that camp that kind of gets my boat ready for winter a little earlier than some, and I miss out on the late September and October fishing. I regret that. I will return that to my my recreation venue in the next few years. But, you know, a lot of folks try to do both, and they're successful. But, you know, a lot of the fall activities like duck hunting or bow hunting, you know, you need to spend your time scouting and spend your time doing that. It's hard to fish. So it puts a person in the position where you got to pick. And those that stick with fishing have some of the best fishing of the year, and they have the lakes and the rivers pretty much to themselves.
Yeah, they do.
We do some surveys, not this year, but we do creel surveys on the Rainy River in the fall, September and October. and the catch rates up there in the fall are pretty phenomenal. You know, there are a growing number of folks that participate in what is called cast and blast, where they go away for a weekend or at their cabin, or they go up to a resort somewhere like on the Rainy River, and they'll combine grouse hunting with walleye fishing in the afternoon, and they got it dialed in. They can pull that off.
Boy, no kidding.
You know, for some of us too, I'm a wild rice harvester. My wife got me into that. And so as kind of my summer fishing winds down, we get in a rice boat and we go harvest rice for a couple of weeks. And to me, that's the transition into the gathering season where, you know, the bird dogs start getting a little antsy in the morning, a little higher energy. And that's the transition from ricing into fall hunting season. And it's just a special time of the year that goes too fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to somebody about autumn, and they said, it's my favorite season. And I said, well, if you consider, you know, 2 days a season, because some years it feels like that's all we get of fall is a couple of days. I'm hoping for a long fall and a much shorter winter this year myself.
Well, I think we're due a nicer fall. Last year was kind of a bust. You know, we got that snowstorm in mid-October, and that kind of turned things inside and out. You know, the leaves were still on the trees. They hadn't turned color, and we had 6 inches of snow on the ground, and it didn't get better after that.
No, it did not. One thing
last year, Kevin and I was very happy. I had my boat put away. Wouldn't have wanted to have been out on Halloween trying to change the lower unit oil.
Yeah, that would have been bad. That would have been bad. Well, you know what? The other thing is we did not get much of an ice fishing season last year either due to the weird weather. But that tin has become a very, very popular thing. And with the big fancy houses, the pressure in general has gone way up in hard water season. And I expect if we get good ice, that's going to be the case again this year.
I agree. You know, Lake of the Woods last year, because, you know, Red Lake had bad ice, you know, and after the first of the year, a lot of Lake Leech did, you know, Lake of the Woods escaped those heavy snows. And so we saw probably by 25% the highest winter fishing pressure we've ever documented on Lake of the Woods. The ice season last year started out great. You know, we had good early ice. I mean, by the first week of December, a lot of lakes you could drive on already. You know, but then it went to heck right after Christmas, you know, with that couple of feet of snow that fell. So, you know, it's hard to predict what we're going to have there. But if there's good ice, there'll be a lot of people out. That's guaranteed.
Has that increase in hard water pressure been a concern at all?
Yeah, it has, particularly on some of our larger lakes. And we have made some adjustments and regulations based on that. We've had to tighten it down a little bit on Red Lake. We recently reduced the sauger bag on Lake of the Woods. Most of our premier walleye lakes already have 4-bag on them, on walleye. So, yes, you know, if we have not reached the apex of that increase, you know, some additional changes might have to be considered down the road. But we do have to take that into account, because we haven't seen a decline.
Okay. One of the things that we talked about was the increase in fishing pressure this year with most everything else canceled. That continues into the fall. A lot of school activities not going on. I expect that's going to mean maybe some more hunting and people being introduced to hunting. But I think it can also mean even more hard water pressure this winter.
I think that could be right. I think that your prognostication there might be right on target. There's another factor, too, is that the Canadian border remains closed for recreational use. So, you know, there's a lot of hunters, myself included, that have gone or go annually to Canada to hunt waterfowl, or grouse, or bow hunt, or fish, fall fish, or winter fish. And you know, right now, that effort is all going to stay stateside. And so there are some factors conspiring to the likelihood of more people afield this fall and more people on the ice. You know, it's a good thing.
Any final thoughts before we wrap it up, Henry?
No, it's been a strange summer. I know I've probably spent more time on the water than normal, so it certainly provided some additional opportunities for me and many others. And so I guess it's been a good summer. Okay. Looking forward to a nice fall, and I'm looking forward already to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country 2021.
How many more times am I going to get to talk to you, Henry?
Is this off the record?
Well, I am recording. Okay, I guess you answered what you want to answer.
Oh, at least one.
Okay, all right. That's good news. That's very good news. Henry Drews is the Regional Fisheries Manager out of the Northwest office here in Bemidji. We love having him on the show. Great insight on the year in fishing. And Henry, we will talk to you next spring.
Sounds good, Kevin. Have a great fall.
Well, as always, thank you for being part of Fishing Paul Bunyan Country. Tuning in every day, whether it's on KBUN, KB101, or on the podcast. I'm glad to have you along for the ride. I want to thank the many, many great guests we've had, the people who are always willing to be on the show and share their information with you. It is truly appreciated. I want to thank all our sponsors. We've got some great sponsors. We appreciate it. In particular, I have to tip my hat to Northland Fishing Tackle, our title sponsor, who's been with us since day one. And in fact, it was them that got this show going. So thank you, Northland Fishing Tackle. They are also responsible for twisting an arm or two to get people on the show. But, you know, once they experience Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, they, of course, want to come back. I tell you what, we're not done talking outdoors. We're done with the daily stuff. But, again, Thursday, 1 o'clock on KBUN-FM 104.5, starting this upcoming Thursday, the 17th. And then on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., it'll be Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, a weekly show. We'll talk fishing. We'll talk hunting. We'll talk trails. We'll talk forestry. We'll talk everything outdoors on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors starting Thursday the 17th. And of course, it's available on the podcast as well. Go to Podcast One, the PodMN app, or wherever you get your podcast. That's it for today. I'm Kev Jackson. Again, thank you everyone for being part of Fishing Paul Bunyan Country for yet another year. Fish Hail, Paul Bunyan.